Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 through 20, but we're going to read from verse 12. This is reading of God's word. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white, like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the heavenly manna. We are hungry for your word. We are hungry for Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you are so faithful in feeding us with Jesus Christ, your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless your people who are hearing of your word, that by hearing your word, that our faith will grow, and that we'll be more and more like your Son. Receive all the glory, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Through the book of Revelation, through the Word of God, we are meeting and seeing our Lord Jesus Christ. And from verses 12 through 16, last Lord's Day, we saw our glorious Lord, resurrected, triumphant King. We are meeting him as we worship him. We are meeting the resurrected, glorious Lord and God. Just like the Apostle Paul, when he was at Patmos Island, in spirit, was transferred to heaven to meet and see our Lord, we too, in spirit, has arrived in heaven spiritually, and meeting and worshiping the same Lord and God, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that spiritually we have arrived in heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem, our eternal home. And through the Word of God, we see our Lord, our eternal High Priest, our eternal King, our eternal God, He who sees all and knows all, He who is in control of everything, all-knowing and all-powerful, He who speaks to His church through the Holy Spirit through His word, He who holds His church in His right hand, He who protects His church with His word, He who destroys his enemies with his word. He who shines his glorious light on his church. our Lord Jesus Christ. He is with His church, even as His church worships Him, the Lord that John met, and now with whom John is with right now, you and I too are meeting Him and meeting Him through His Word. And He is with us. Verse 17a starts, "When I saw Him, I fell at His feet like a dead man." The natural response of John as he sees our glorious, holy, and righteous, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. John fell at His feet like a dead man. This is a natural response of a sinner in the presence of the holy and righteous God. For a sinner to come to God is a terrible thing. It's a terrifying thing. Trembling with fear. We see this everywhere in the Bible. Isaiah, when he met our Lord in Isaiah 6, verse 5, he says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Peter, when he met the Lord, Luke chapter 5, verse 8, "But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, 'Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" Jesus did not even have to say anything to Peter. But as soon as Peter sees Jesus Christ, he understands how sinful he is. How about you? How do you come to your Lord as you worship Him? Do you have the proper understanding of to whom you are coming to worship? Who is this God that you are worshiping even now? Do you have the proper understanding how you do not deserve to come to our holy and righteous God? Do you see how utterly sinful you are? We come to God through Jesus Christ. And yes, we have the confidence that God will receive us because of Jesus Christ and His accomplished work for us. But we are talking about our attitude as we come to our God to worship Him. Don't you believe that you and I come to God in a very rude manner? As if you and I deserve to come. As if you and I have right to come to God. No, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to be joyous and happy. Of course, if you do understand what kind of salvation that God has accomplished, you must be joyous. So many times we come as if it's just a trivial thing. That is something that we just do on Lord's Day. Not really thinking this through. Really think about this, brothers and sisters. Who are we that we're able to come to our God? how privileged we are. Do you have that kind of sense as you drive yourself to come to church on the Lord's Day? We're coming here to meet our God. And if this doesn't excite you, I don't know what will excite you as a Christian. This is a spiritual worship, brothers and sisters. This is why we're worshiping God sitting down. You think when He is visible, when He stands before you, you think you will sit like that in front of Him? No. If this is a physical worship, then how dare we worship God sitting down? This is not proper posture for worshiping God. But this is a spiritual worship. Even as we're sitting down physically, do you understand that we do bow down before Him spiritually? That is your attitude. It's not a theater. You didn't come and sit down on your chair to watch a movie. We're here to worship our God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see your spiritual self, how you are completely bowing down to your God as you worship your God. With holy fear and sense of how sinful you are that you are not even able to lift up your head in front of this holy and righteous God. Let us take time to really examine us. What is our spiritual posture as we come to our God? Yeah. In front of this holy and righteous God, you and I, we too are like dead men. What can we say to Him? Just because He is not visible, He is not standing before you? Do you ever thought of this when you actually God appears right in front of you? What can you say to Him? What complaints can you make to Him? If we really know who God is and what we truly deserve from Him, what can we say to Him? What kind of heart full of all these complaints can we bring to God if He is truly standing before you? Many Christians, including us, are so rude as we come to God. I want you to understand what is going on now, even now. If Bible is false, then we're just imagining things. But if Bible is true, then something amazing, something so glorious thing is happening right now. We too come to Jesus just like John, with holy fear. Look at, as soon as he sees Jesus Christ, what does he do? He fell upon his feet. And you and I, we too bow down to our God. Oh, this is another reason I long for that day to come. When we are able to come to God without any fear. Because what Christ has accomplished is completely consummated. And we're able to see, because of his work, how holy and righteous we have become. And in that glorious worship, I don't think anyone will think of something else or worry about worldly things as we worship, or even sleep during heavenly worship. Brothers and sisters, Christian life begins here in this worship. And this is for your spiritual good, that you prepare for this worship, that you think about what this worship is about. And you prepare your hearts, you prepare your attitude. And this is good for you. Now verse 17b says, and he placed his hand right on me, saying, do not be afraid. This is amazing grace. See how John comes to God and meets God, and he sees how holy and righteous God is and how sinful he is. So he fell upon his feet like a dead man. But Jesus, when you do come to him in that posture, when you do come to him in that attitude, when you come properly, Jesus do not leave you at that state. He places his right hand on John. Do you remember in verse 16, in his right hand he held seven stars? He holds his church in his right hand. Now there, the picture was the protection. And picture was the power and strength and sovereignty. But here we see another picture. His hand is on John, on his church. His hand is on you. As you fell down with holy trembling, do you feel his hand on you? Do you hear his voice saying to you, do not be afraid? Do you understand that this is your spiritual reality right now as we have gathered to worship our God? As we have gathered to come to him to worship, that he lays his hand on you. And he says to John, but also to you and to me, do not be afraid. To sinners who really need to be afraid, he says, Do not be afraid. Why? The answer is in verse 17b and verse 18. Jesus says, I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Do not be afraid. Why? Jesus says, because I died and now I live. How can we come to God without utter fear? We are able to do so because of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is telling us to be not afraid? Who is He, and what did He do for us, and what did He accomplish for us that He says to us, do not be afraid? He died for our sins. He received all the punishment that our sins deserve. He received the eternal death. And He lived that perfect, righteous life for you and for me. That in Jesus Christ, even as we meet this holy and righteous God, we hear Him saying to us, do not be afraid. I don't know, brothers and sisters, I pray very hard that you will hear His voice. That you will hear His voice and be blessed. It is so amazing. What kind of death was His death? Well, He bore our sins and died on our places. He died instead of you and instead of me. He paid in full all the penalties of all our sins. He paid all that on the cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, and He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and to live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. Chapter 3, verse 18, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2a, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, He made Him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Romans chapter 3, let us go there together. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Colossians chapter 1 verse 22, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. Mark chapter 10 verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That is why we don't have to be afraid anymore. Because even though we are sinners, Jesus died for our sins. That he received all the penalties that our sins deserve. It is not Jesus just saying to us, don't be afraid. But because of what he has done and accomplished, he says to us, don't be afraid. Then Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead on the third day. Acts chapter 2 verse 24, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in his power. Verses 31 through 32, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 8 through, well, let's go there, read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 3, all the way to 8. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, then to 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. And go down to verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that show? The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is the proof that God the Father is pleased with all that our Lord Jesus Christ has done in our behalf. It also proves to us that he is truly God and our King. You and I have been died with him and resurrected with him. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Let me just read that to you. Knowing that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And this, death and resurrection, this is what we see in the Apostle John. As he fell like a dead man, but Jesus comes and puts his hand on John and raises him up. We see here John's death and resurrection. He says to you and to me, do not be afraid. Our eternal salvation is completely and perfectly accomplished. And it will be visibly consummated. All our sins have been completely and perfectly cleansed. We are no longer afraid of death. Psalm 23, verse 4a, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We don't have to be afraid anymore. As you and I come to our God to worship, we bow down before Him. We too, like John, fell at His feet like a dead man. But our Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us as He puts His right hand on us. He lifts our head and we behold our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 3rd, verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Do you see your spiritual reality? As we, in spirit, taken up to heaven, as we meet our God, resurrected, triumphant Lord, we fell down like a dead man. But Jesus, putting his right hand upon us, and we hear his voice, do not be afraid. He lifts up our head as we lift our head. We see our Lord. Listen to what Jesus says to you. Listen with an ear that the Holy Spirit gives to you so that you could hear. Do not be afraid. What does this mean to you as you hear His voice through His word? Do not be afraid. Joel 2, verse 21, do not fear, O land. Rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has done great things. Isaiah 43, verse 1b, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Isaiah 41, verse 10, since beginning of my Christian life, this verse has been very special to me. Well, that doesn't mean anything to you, but Isaiah 41 verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxiously look around, look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you hear His voice? And verse 13, for I am the Lord your God, who upholds your right hand, who says to you, do not fear, I will help you. But in our passage, the very last book of the Bible, after Jesus accomplished everything, he says to us again, do not be afraid. Do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives forever, he now has the keys of death and of Hades. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 6 says, though the Lord kills and makes alive, he brings down to Sheol and raises up. It's all up to God. He has the keys. He is the owner and the master. He controls them. He has the sole authority and power over them. Revelation chapter 3 verse 7b says, he who is holy, who is true, who has the keys of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens. He is the Lord of death and of hell and of Hades. Isaiah 22 verse 22, then I will set the keys of the house of David on his shoulder, which he opens on no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. And he witnesses that reality through his church. Matthew chapter 16 verse 19 says, talking about the authority that God gives to the church, 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Chapter 18, verse 18 says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Do you understand? Jesus holding the keys. The keys of the hell and Hades, death and Hades, and keys of heaven. It is all up to him. And he will open that gate of heaven for you whom he has died for. And once it is open to you, it is forever open to you, no one is able to shut it. But for those who are still in sin, it is still closed. He holds the keys of David, reigns over you through his church. And if you who are members of this church, if you, by the grace of Christ, have confessed your faith genuinely, then you have witnessed Jesus Christ exercising his authority over this key. He has the key. Lord Jesus Christ speaks to you, do not be afraid. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Our resurrected glorious Lord, who on that glorious resurrection morning appeared to Mary, who was so sad, who came to doubting Thomas to help him with his faith, who restored Peter, who denied him three times. He appeared to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus to teach them his word. That same Lord speaks to you. Do not be afraid. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. John chapter 14 verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Brothers and sisters, lift your heads because Jesus is lifting your heads. And brothers and sisters, behold your Lord Jesus Christ who speaks to you with his right hand on you. Do not be afraid. Hear, brothers and sisters, hear the gospel. You know, so oftentimes I feel I'm the biggest hindrance in this preaching of the gospel. And I'm probably be the biggest hindrance for you to hear the gospel. But please hear the gospel. We're all sinners. And I desire you to live a holier life, just like I desire for myself. But the fact is that no matter how sinful you are, if you trust Christ, if you believe in Christ, that he died for your sins and he lived that righteous life for you, then he says to you, do not be afraid. I pray that you will hear his voice. Do not be afraid. And understand who is saying that to you. And understand what he has done and accomplished so that he is saying that to you. And if you hear his voice, and if you understand who is that person who is saying that to you, then I pray and I beg you to live for him. Love him with everything you have. Only the gospel can move your heart. No matter how much I say whatever I say, it's not going to move you. And that's why sometimes I feel so hopeless and helpless, but I trust that it is not I who are saying his word, but that somehow as I read his word, somehow I say these things according to his word, that God is using me so that you may hear his voice, not mine. So that you may hear the gospel. But for those people who have been saved, as you shall see from chapter 2, that he even rebukes those whom he loves. So even the rebuke of Christ, hear it as his love. He rebukes you because he loves you. But hear the gospel. You know that you cannot do this. this holy, righteous life, you cannot live on your own strength. You gotta hear the gospel. And you have to believe. That's the only way it will happen. We now live for Jesus Christ. We now live to worship Him. We now live to love Him with all we have. That is our purpose. Oh, brothers and sisters, I beg you to lift up your head and see your Lord. See Him. He who is clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, and girded across his chest with a golden sash, whose head and whose hair are white like white wool, like snow, and whose eyes are like a flame of fire, whose feet are like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, whose voice is like the sound of many waters, who in his right hand holds seven stars, out of whose mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, and whose face is like the sun shining in its strength. He places his hand on you and speaks to you. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Be faithful until death. And all Christians, you and I, we say, yes, Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Your grace is indeed amazing. Oh Father, as sinners, we must come to You with trembling and fear. But Father, You do not leave us like that. We thank You that Your Son, Jesus Christ, come to us. And He puts His right hand on us, and He lifts up our heads. And He speaks to us with loving voice. Do not be afraid. As we hear His voice, yes, Lord, our fear is banished. And we see glorious Lord, loving Lord, who loves us so much that He would die for our sins and live that perfect righteous life, living the life of suffering and death for us. Oh Father, the sight is truly glorious, and we truly love it here. Let us enjoy our God now and forever. Let us hear Your loving voice through Your word. Let us hear the gospel. Let us believe. And through that faith, let us witness what Jesus has done for us. We thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.